Nobody puts Patrick in the corner. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Mr. Patrick Swayze. This is Talking to the Dead with Janet Kubik, and I'm your host, Joe Oliva. Please let me introduce you to the star of the show. I guarantee you will have the time of your life with Janet Kubik.
Hello. Hi there. Okay, that intro I loved because it was a very interesting way to sort of foreshadow or tease about
or segue.
Segue into
I'm the segue
what I,
king, right?
You're
I'm
the segue king, that's right, of course, into what I think this episode is maybe going to be about.
Yes, so I will give people some quick background. Okay. It's the same day as the last YouTube show / podcast. I've just changed positions because I was very uncomfortable in the last position. But you're in the same position. Just minutes have passed. But all week, you have been getting bugged, as you call it, or a certain celebrity has been coming forward, and you suspect he is ready to come forward again. And that is one, Mr. Patrick Swayze of Hollywood fame.
And even as you say it, I start to blush because I got to tell you, if this is Patrick Swayze and he's about to take the stage, then I'm a little jittery because I am a huge fan. Huge fan.
Well, we've talked about our backgrounds in entertainment. Mine was, I mean, you kind of have to do everything. Like I acted in a movie, but really I'm a singer. I was only there because I was singing in the movie. If I had to rank you're the triple threat, acting, singing, dancing. You're a dancer. That's sort of your love of entertainment sort of came from.
Yeah.
And Patrick Swayze was a phenomenal dancer, as you saw from the movie Dirty Dancing. But he also had a dance background, I think. I don't know a ton about him. Maybe we'll learn more today.
Yeah, maybe we will. I haven't, well, obviously he has been passed for several years now. So he hasn't been sort of forefront in my mind. So now that I'm kind of feeling this energy, it's kind of taking me back a bit to what I remember about him. And I have to admit that Dirty Dancing, I had the VHS, and I think I pretty much wore it out, if that's possible, because that was my favorite movie. Oh, and I just thought of another reference. Okay.
Wait,
so
for those younger viewers or listeners, VHS was a streaming website that you went on. It was like Netflix, right?
Are we really that old that we have to play what VHS is?
It was, it was like a CD. I think they sold those CDs. It was a DVD kind of thing, a DVD format. Anyway,
wow.
What was the other reference you said?
Well, no, so I'm going to go back and say how this has kind of been creeping up on me today, this time today. Just a little while ago, I think it was likely about a week, out of the blue, I heard the name in my mind, Patrick Swayze. I also, following that, then heard the name Lisa. So I just kind of acknowledged it and let it go. And I'm already getting distracted, so it's hard for me to kind of explain this, but I'm going to try. Following that, I then had another moment where I was in the kitchen one day and I received the word pancreatic cancer.
Right.
And so since then I have looked up, how or what ailment Patrick Swayze passed from or was suffering with before he passed, and it was pancreatic cancer. I then went to the store the other day, and in the checkout line, I looked down, and the person on the cover of one of the magazines and the whole front page was all about, or the big article being advertised on the front page was Patrick Swayze. Prior to me hearing his name, multiple times I heard the word ghost. And for some reason, I just had heard it multiple times enough that I was acknowledging that this is really weird. Like, how often do you hear the word ghost?
Especially in your line of work, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so I just, like, it would be on a TV show or it was the title of an episode of something I was watching, or it just kept showing up enough to the point where I recognized it and I thought, this is weird. Like, there's got to be some connection to ghosts. I'm thinking the word ghost. Well, of course, when I looked at this magazine cover featuring Patrick Swayze, it referenced his movie Ghost. So that was another sort of click for me, like, this is something. And then and actually just this morning, before we started filming the previous episode, out of nowhere, I started singing I've Had the Time of My Life.
Right.
Which, for those of you in the younger generation who don't know what VHS is, you would know, or it was the main song, I would say, from the movie Dirty Dancing. And also, actually, when we paused from filming the first episode and moving into this one, I did have a visual of Patrick Swayze waiting in the wings. Okay. So it's a stage with the black curtain, and he's wearing the outfit from the finale of the movie, the black shirt, black pants. And I see him warming up, like, you know, if you've seen a dancer warm up before they take the stage, shaking things yep. out, stretching here and there. And I'm pretty confident that this is.
I think he needs a Joe Oliva intro. I think that's what he's waiting for. What do you think? Should I give it to him?
Go for it. Give it to him.
Nobody puts Patrick in the corner.
Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Mr. Patrick Swayze.
That was the best intro ever. So the first thing I have to tell you is that he is just so humble. He just feels so humble. I just feel this kindness of soul. He's soft and gentle and just loving, and wow, it is just a beautiful feeling. It's really, that's, I think, a good word to use. It just feels beautiful. He feels so lovely. He feels soft spoken. It almost feels contradictory in a way, but I think this is true of a lot of artists, that their persona or how they're perceived because of being, you know, on camera in certain roles is very different from who they actually are, you know, as people, as themselves. He says, yes, I told you Lisa. He said, Lisa is my wife.
Right. I did Google that because you were mentioning Patrick Swayze for a few days now. You thought he'd come forward today, and then the first episode we started rolling and he didn't. He wanted his own episode. but I did Google his wife's name is Lisa.
Okay. Yeah, and he says that he waited because he felt like the information that was shared in the previous episode, episode 7, is that right? Was it episode 7?
I think that might be 8.
Is this one 8 or that one 8? Or 7?
9. Anyway, whatever it is, yeah.
Confused. Anyway, he said that he waited because that information was important and it was valuable and needed to be shared. So he didn't want to take the spotlight or the attention away from that information because it was important. And I'm really getting the sense that this was the type of person that he was. I feel like he would only step into the spotlight once everybody else had their turn. Or if it was more important for someone else to be front and center, then he would gladly and happily step back to facilitate that and to facilitate others shining and others stepping forward and taking the spotlight or being heard. Is sort of how he's expressing it. So that is why he did sort of hold off, but it was important for him to come forward today. So that's why he kind of pushed us a little bit to keep going and to actually film a second episode.
Right. I did see one interview that I specifically remember. For those who don't know Patrick Swayze, you'd have to be pretty young because he was, I would say, an A-list celebrity at one point in his life.
Yeah.
If you don't know him, he was a heartthrob, like kind of like, you know, sexiest men alive, whatever. I mean, I'm still waiting to be on the cover of People Magazine myself, but
it's coming.
It's coming. Okay.
But, that wasn't a psychic prediction, by the way.
Yeah. There was one interview that he did that I found, because I really didn't, I mean, there's so many celebrities out there. I have three that I follow, like Billy Joel and like a couple other ones. Like, but I don't really, I'm not the celebrity hunter type. Like, I don't follow, I know who they are, but I don't go crazy for information for them. But he did an interview that I recall. I didn't have to look it up or Google, just something that I recall. Because he was a heartthrob kind of guy, he didn't, it might have been Oprah Winfrey interview, and he said that he was standing somewhere, whatever, with his wife, and a girl came and patted him on the bottom.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and he just turned to her, and instead of freaking out on her or whatever, he was very nice to her and very kind to her, and he said something along the lines of, like, I know you look at me as, like, you know, I don't know what the word is, but, like, an object.
Yeah.
But I'm a human being and I'm standing here with my wife. So if you'd like a picture together or an autograph, that's great. But you have to treat me with respect. I'm paraphrasing. I was the interview with, like, years ago. But I thought that was kind of cool. That was something that stuck with me because I saw him then as not just a shallow Hollywood celebrity. I realized, oh, he's an actual guy, right? There's depth to him.
Yeah. And I feel like that really speaks to his personality, that really speaks to the sense that I'm getting and how I'm sort of feeling his energy. He feels, again, I'm using the word soft. It feels like a soft-hearted type of person. It just doesn't feel at all aggressive. I almost hear the word mild. Just sort of low key or a little bit more mellow, a little bit quieter, but just really full of love. He says, I brought up my wife because she is so important. And it almost is if he's saying she was so important to him in life, but he doesn't want to use the word was. He wants it to be is. She is so important. And he said, you know, it used to be a funny thing because she was a dancer too.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that he is, so I'm not entirely sure that that's the case. But from my perspective, but he is sharing that she was a dancer too. And he said, and she was the most beautiful soul, or she is the most beautiful soul. She's just the most wonderful, loving woman. I couldn't have asked for a more supportive partner, he said, but because of my job, it was me who stood in the spotlight. It was me who sort of took the attention. He said, but if anyone deserved it, it was her, or it is her. And I almost feel that he is sort of saying too, that that's why you were prompted to share that story. Because that story highlights his wife. And it's where he's acknowledging what he's saying now about his wife, that he respects his wife. And he says something about the industry. The industry doesn't sometimes give credence? I'm not sure of the word. Does not give enough. I think he's trying to give it to me in sort of another way, enough credit or due credit to who the people are that are playing the roles. He said, so people in general don't really get to know the person themselves. They really get to know their work. He said, but unfortunately, he said, because of that imbalance, people tend to see others, A-listers, celebrities, for their work as opposed to who they are as human beings. And he says this is an important part of why he wanted to come forward today. He says it needs to shift. He said we need to stop seeing people. I feel a bit emotional. He feels very passionate about this. It, and almost sad about it. We need to stop seeing people and highlighting people and focusing on the external, on what a person's job is or what their work is. He said, we're missing out in general. Like, this is a life thing. He says, this is everybody. This is not celebrities. This is everybody. We need to start looking at who people are on the inside. Because what you see, you know, their job as being or how they are highlighted is not necessarily who they are. And he says, and he's like, that's got to go. Like, we've got to let go of that. As we move forward as a society, as humanity moves forward, because it is moving forward. And he says, and I know this is hard, and I know you're struggling, and I know it's tough. And you know, I feel like he's talking specifically too about artists. He says, it's important because these times, what's happening now, this is taking us deeper. This is taking us to a place where we're going to shatter those facades. And we're really going to get to the heart of the matter. And we're really going to get to start to see people and value people for who they are, not what they do and not what they look like on the outside. So he's like, hang in there, be strong. And I feel like he's talking to everyone, but also I feel like there's sort of a specific focus on artists at this time because, I mean, you know, as we're filming this, we're in the middle of COVID-19, the pandemic, and artists are out of work. And so this is an exceptionally hard time for everybody, but very specifically artists, the arts industry, performing arts is really taking a pretty significant hit. He says, although it's hard right now, this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to change the arts and show business and the way that artists are presented in society, how they're put on pedestals and you know, paid really, really, I was going to say really good money, and he sort of stopped me there. He said, are paid more than others, or maybe they even should be. He says, this is time to in society and humanity to even the playing field amongst all individuals, amongst all people, amongst all humans. This is a time to even that playing field and to take away those, I'm not sure of the word, but it's like all of the perks or benefits that, you know, celebrities have, for example. He says there needs to be better balance. We need to be on a greater, maybe greater's not the word because it keeps sort of stopping me there, on a more even playing field. Everyone, regardless of what you look like, regardless of what work you do, it all needs to be evened out. And it's also going to create, he says, what's happening in the world right now, it's going to create a greater appreciation for all of the people's jobs, all of the people's roles. Because sometimes too much credit is given to actors, singers. They're highlighted. He keeps referring to it as people being highlighted. He says they're highlighted for their work. But their work is no more valuable than those who hold all sorts of positions in life. And he says, and we're seeing that now with what are being referred to as essential workers. Everyone is essential. And he says, and this is another opportunity as well for the arts to be considered essential, because the arts are helping you to cope. And people are starting to appreciate arts in a new way because, oh my gosh, I just sort of got overwhelmed thinking I'm talking to Patrick Swayze. Okay. That's a Janet moment. Like, I'm just
15-year-old Janet is freaking out.
Yes, literally. Okay. sorry, he's just smiling. He's so humble. He's just smiling and allowing me to take my moment. He goes back again to the idea of evening the playing field, of finding the value in everyone. Everyone should be celebrated, he says. Everyone has a part to play. And he's going back again a little bit to, I think, before where I kind of had my fangirl moment, where he was talking about the appreciation for the arts. And he said, you know, the arts are a means of coping. The arts are a means of tapping into creative energy, which is life force energy. It's essential energy. It's an essential part of the energetic existence that you know, you're in at this time. And he says it's being brought forward in a way where it is going to be or is being more recognized as a valuable and needed part. So as much as you might be out of work right now, he says this is, for those who are it that are in the arts, this is going to serve you well in the long run. It's like you're kind of taking a bit of a hit. You know, humanity in a way is taking a bit of a hit because we need to make changes and we need to move forward and we need to let go of so much of what's been sort of established in society or in humanity at this time as being okay and acceptable. He says, so those of you who are here right now or there right now are taking that hit because you are the building blocks. You're going to be the builders of the new way of being, the new way of existence for the world itself and humanity itself. But he says, just hold on to the knowledge and the knowing that it's getting better. It's going to get better. And things that we struggled with in past are going to dissolve and they're going to fade away because there's going to be new ways, more balanced ways, more acceptable ways, more honoring ways of working in this world or showing up in this world or how this world exists. So he just wants us to know that he's sending his love. He has so much love for humanity. He has so much love in him. He has so much love for those he's left behind, but he says, I haven't left you. I am with you. I am walking with you all the time. That felt very directed towards his loved ones. He just has this love for humanity and he just wants to offer his support from where he is now for all of us that are going through this significant shift in the shape, he says, in the shape of humanity. I still feel he's present, but he's stepped back. So I'm just giving it a moment to see if there's anything else he wanted to bring forward.
That was quite a speech.
He says, he just sort of jumped back in and he says, I feel like this might be a personal message for myself. He says, keep on dancing. It is within you. He says, dance isn't something we do. Dance is something we are. It is part of who we are. And I feel like he is stepping back. Wow. Okay, so many feels going on right now. You don't even know.
That was quite a... That would not fit on TikTok. We were talking about putting some clips on TikTok. No, it's a 1 minute limit there. Wow, that was quite a. It felt like he really wanted to get this message out, didn't it?
Yeah, it felt very important to him. It felt like, I don't know if pleading is the word, but like, I've actually. So excited to watch it back because, as you know, oftentimes when I go into sort of that degree of channeling, that level or state of channeling, I don't consciously or cognitively remember what has come through. So I'm really excited to look back at that.
Yeah, I wrote some couple notes down, and then you kept going. So I stopped, stop seeing and highlighting on the external, value people for who they are. Focus on the internal as opposed to the external, I think was kind of the gist of it. I'll have to watch it back too, because it just came at me really fast. But
yeah. And again, what I find with every message that comes through is that it is layered. And we can listen to it once and we will take something from it. But if you listen to it again, if you listen to it 10 more times, if you listen to it 6 months from now, it will speak to you in a whole new way or in a deeper way or to another level or with a wider perspective or a different perspective. And I feel like there was a lot of really valuable information for us who are living in this time as humans or in humanity at this time. I feel like there was a lot in there for us.
Is he still there? Pat?
He has stepped out. I'm just still reeling a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to ask him a question. Is he mingling?
You know what? You can ask it and then we'll see if he steps forward.
So I have an impression of what he said and what is pleading or however you want to call it. But the big question is how? We're so entrenched
I'm going to just sort of talk over you for a second because he's kind of referring to this as his encore. So he's kind of like being a bit cheeky, I think, and thanking you for having him come back for his encore. He says, you need to let go of what you know. He said, we need to be brave enough to let go of what we know. What he's referring to in terms of what we know is what we've been taught is the current structures of society, the current mindsets or beliefs that have been kind of ingrained in us growing up or being a part of society or life at this time. He said they need to be tossed out the window. He says there's a lot that needs to be tossed. And he says, but that's scary because letting go of what we know is scary because the unknown can be scary. And he said, so what we're tasked with as being humans now who are helping to shift and evolve the world is to trust that the unknown is safe, that the unknown is better, and it's actually good for us. But he says that goes so much against what we're taught. We've been so controlled. We've been so dictated to. There's been so much oppression. He says that we're afraid. He says we're afraid to tap into what we know, what we innately know, because we know all this inside. It's just when we get here, when we come here, we forget it because these energies, the lower energies take over and we kind of forget where we came from and what we already know to be the way things would be better to be. So it's like right now what's happening is you're all stepping up to what's been created by the ego. You're all stepping up to these societal structures and these beliefs, and you're saying no, not anymore. It's not okay to treat people this way. It's not okay to be this way to other human beings. We're all in this together. Yeah, he says we have to learn to love each other and be kind to each other and to know that we're all in this, like rowing in the same boat. This idea of division of any kind, religion, race, sex, paycheck, celebrity, all of it, he says it's got to go. It's just all got to go. And he says, and I know it's hard. And he's sort of saying that part of why he struggled in being here was because he knew, he remembered. He knew maybe or remembered more than maybe others do. And that's not a judgment. There's no judgment in that. It's just that he did. And it feels like he found it hard to be here because he just feels like love. He feels like so much love And I feel almost like he maybe left at the time he did because he found it hard to be here in all of this.
Okay.
Like, sort of, yeah. He says, I think I've said enough. He said, I'm so thankful. Yeah, and he says, I'm so thankful and I'm humbled that you heard me. Grateful for the opportunity to come forward and share what he wanted to share. And he just did like a little kind of a bow kind of a thing. And I'm watching him exit the stage.
Okay, good encore.
Wow.
I wouldn't want to follow that act.
Jeez. It's so emotional. I mean, for me personally, on so many levels, because obviously we've talked about, you know, my feelings about him and how he was a part of my life. But again, just to all of his messages, you know, they're very in line with what I receive from the other side. They're very in line with what I've come to believe. I just feel like they're really powerful words. They're really powerful messages.
Cool. Well, that was an interesting one, Janet. I think he's our third celebrity.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, as we refer to these sort of celebrities coming forward, I think maybe part of his message is that through this platform, these celebrities are not working. We're not seeing their work. We're getting a chance to know who they are. We're right. getting a chance to know them on a soul level, on a spirit level, like who they were as people. Because when they're coming forward, it's not about what they're projecting through their work or what roles they're playing. They are coming through completely authentically, not based on their reputations, not based on what we've been taught to believe about them, but they're getting the chance to come through as their authentic selves.
Right. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. You're watching and or listening to Talking to the Dead with Janet Kubik. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to subscribe on whichever platform you're joining us on. Help spread the word by sharing, and be sure to visit janetkubik.com and sign up for our email list. Bye, Janet. Bye, Pat.
Bye, and thank you, Patrick Swayze. Thank you, and thank you to all of you for checking in.